here when I stick my head out the window of the truck as we're driving down a highway. I wonder how fast I'll be able to run when I'm 20 or 25. I stop running about 100 yards from Sarah's house. I'm not short of breath at all. As I walk up the driveway, I see Sarah peek out the window. She smiles and waves, opening the front door just as I step onto her porch. "Hey, handsome," she says. I turn and look over my shoulder to pretend she's talking to somebody else. Then I turn back around and ask her if she's talking to me. She laughs. "You're silly," she says, and punches me in the arm before pulling me close to give me a lingering kiss. I take a deep breath and can smell the food. Turkey and stuffing, sweet potatoes, Brussels sprouts, pumpkin pie. "Smells great," I say. "My mom has been cooking all day. Can't wait to eat. Where is your dad?" "He got held up. He should be here in a little while." "Is he okay?" "Yeah, it's not a big deal." We go inside and she takes me on a tour. It's a great house. A classic family home with bedrooms on the second floor, an attic where one of her brothers has his room, and all of the living spaces. The living room, dining room, kitchen, and family room on the first floor. When we get to her room, she closes the door and kisses me. I'm surprised, but thrilled. "I've been looking forward to doing that all day," she says softly when she pulls away. As she walks towards the door, I pull her back to me and kiss her again. "And I'm looking forward to kissing you again later," I whisper. She smiles and punches me on the arm again. We head back downstairs and she takes me to the family room, where her two older brothers, home from college for the weekend, are watching football with her father. I sit with them, while Sarah goes to the kitchen to help her mother and her younger sister with dinner. I've never been that into football. I guess, because of the way Henri and I have lived, I've never really gotten into anything outside of our life. My concerns were always with trying to fit into wherever we were, and then getting ready to go somewhere else. Her brothers and her father all played football in high school. They love it. And in today's game, one of her brothers and her father like one of the teams, while her other brother likes the other team. They argue with each other, taunt each other, cheer and groan, depending on what's happening in the game. They've clearly been doing this for years, probably for their entire lives, and they're clearly having a great time. It makes me wish Henri and I had something, besides my training and our endless running and hiding, that we were both into and that we could enjoy with each other. It makes me wish I had a real father and brothers to hang out with. At halftime, Sarah's mother calls us in for dinner. I check my phone and still nothing. Before we sit down, I go to the bathroom and try to call Henri, and it goes straight to voicemail. It's almost 5 o'clock, and I'm starting to panic. I come back to the table where everyone is sitting. The table looks amazing. There are flowers in the center, with placemats and table settings meticulously placed in front of each of the chairs. Serving dishes of food are spread around the inside of the table, with the turkey sitting in front of Mr. Hart's place. Just after I sit down, Mrs. Hart comes into the room. She has taken off her apron and is wearing a beautiful skirt and sweater.
"Have you heard from your dad?" she says.
"I just tried calling him. He is running late and asked us not to wait. He's very sorry for the inconvenience," I say. Mr. Hart starts carving the turkey. Sarah smiles at me from across the table, which makes me feel better for about half a second. The food starts being passed, and I take small portions of everything. I don't think I'm going to be able to eat very much. I keep my phone out and on my lap, and have it set to vibrate if a call or text comes through. With each passing second, however, I don't believe anything is going to come through, or that I will ever see Henri again. The idea of living by myself, with my legacies developing, and without anyone to explain them to me or train me, of running on my own, of hiding on my own, of finding my own way, of
Fighting the Mogadorians? Fighting them until they are defeated or I am dead? Terrifies me.
Dinner takes forever. Time is moving slowly again. Sarah's whole family peppers me with questions. I've never been in a situation where I've been asked so many things by so many people in such a short period of time. They ask about my past, the places I've lived, about Henri, about my mother, who, I say, as I always do, died when I was very young. It's the only answer I give that is even the smallest sliver of truth. I have no idea if my answers even make sense. The phone on my leg feels like it weighs 1,000 pounds. It doesn't vibrate. It just sits there. After dinner, then before dessert, Sarah asks everyone to go out to the backyard so she can take some pictures. As we go outside, Sarah asks if something is wrong. I tell her I'm worried about Henri. She tries to calm me down and tell me everything is fine, but it doesn't work. If anything, it makes me feel worse. I try to imagine where he is and what he's doing, and the only image I can bring is him standing before a Mogadorian, looking terrified and knowing he's about to die. As we gather for the pictures, I start to panic. How could I get to Athens? I could run, but it might be hard to find my way, especially because I would have to avoid traffic and stay off the major highways. I could take a bus, but it would take too long. I could ask Sarah, but that would involve a huge amount of explaining, including telling her I was an alien and that I believed Henri had either been captured or killed by hostile aliens who were searching for me so that they could kill me. Not the best idea. As we pose, I get a desperate urge to leave, but I need to do it in a way that doesn't make Sarah or her family mad at me. I focus on the camera, staring directly into it, while trying to think of an excuse that will get the least amount of questions. I'm racked with full-on panic now. My hands begin to shake. They feel hot. I look down at them to make sure they aren't glowing. They're not. But when I look back up, I see the whole camera is shaking in Sarah's hands. I know that somehow I'm doing it, but I have no idea how or what I can do to make it stop. A chill shoots up my back. My breath catches in my throat, and at the same time, the glass lens of the camera cracks and shatters. Sarah screams, then pulls the camera down and stares at it in confusion. Her mouth drops open, and tears well up in her eyes. Her parents rush over to see if she's okay. I just stand there in shock. I'm not sure what to do. I'm bummed about her camera and that she's upset about it, but I'm also thrilled because my telekinesis has clearly arrived. Will I be able to control it? Henri will be beside himself when he finds out. Henri. The panic returns. I clench my hands into fists. I need to get out of here. I need to find him. If the Mogadorians have him, which I hope they don't, I'll kill every damn one of them to get him back. Thinking quickly, I walk over to Sarah and pull her away from her parents, who are examining the camera to figure out what has just happened. I just got a message from Henri. I'm really sorry, but I need to go. She's clearly distracted, glancing from me to her parents. Is he all right? Yes, but I have to go. He needs me. She nods and we kiss gently. I hope it's not for the last time. I thank her parents and her brothers and sister, and I leave before they can ask me too many questions. I walk through the house, and as soon as I'm out the front door, I start running. I take the same route home that I took to get to Sarah's house earlier. I stay off the main roads, run through the trees. I'm back in a few minutes. I hear Bernie Kosar scratching at the door as I sprint up the drive. He's clearly anxious, as though he also senses something amiss. I go straight to my room. I retrieve from my bag the piece of paper containing the phone number and address Henri gave me before leaving. I dial the number. A recording comes on.
I'm sorry. The number you are trying to reach has been disconnected or is no longer in service.
I look down at the piece of paper and try the number again.